He's the best player in the game. It's just that simple. There's nothing that Kobe Bryant can't do. He will defend your best player. He will shoot from the perimeter. He will get all in your mug. He will do whatever it takes. He is the most complete basketball player in the game today, bar none. He has an assassin mentality. I said this week, I said this when the trade went down, and I'll repeat it again. Who's starving for an NBA World Championship more than Kobe Bryant? There is no one. This guy is high quality. This is what separates Kobe from the pack. From the pack. More than Kobe Bryant. There is no one.
Okay. Kobe doing work. Super on my shirt. He the greatest on the court. I'm the greatest on the verse. Going for the fourth ring like it was his first. Gotta get the gleam. Do it for Kareem. Do four so nice. My flow so mean. Catch me at the game. Sitting next to Gold Scene. Kobe Bryant Nike. Purple gold stream. Kobe in the game. Dunking on the Black, Black Mamba. Attack Conquer. Basketball beast. Rap monster. Crossover good. A turnaround jumper. A just drive the lane and dunk.
I'm just lost for words. Man, he's amazing.
Pass me the damn ball. I don't need a pick at all. And don't worry about my shot, cause I'ma get that all. Yeah, I drop 40 on your double team. Then I drop 81 on another team. Yeah, you better guard me with caution. And watch, I work them like an auction. No such thing as exhaustion. No time for resting. Cause I don't take breaks. I just break records. And I prefer the ball with 3 seconds. And I bet we go in it all in 3 seconds. You did? That is a guarantee, apparently. And please tell your defense, don't ever man to man with me. Double team, triple team. You didn't just tickle me, but I never let them get to me. Literally, step back and give them a three. Ain't no defending me.
One guy should be envious of the way Bryant played lately, LeBron James.
I've been quoted saying he's definitely the best player in our league. To me, in my eyes, the best scorer in our league. And I mean, I don't know if it's
nothing.
It's not.
Man, oh man. You know, it's been crazy. He passed away. It don't feel any better today than what it did 2 weeks ago.
This is bad.
I mean, Street Fighter, when I tell you, like, for me, I want to say, like, humbly, right, the last time that I felt like the world kind of stopped when a celebrity passed was, like, when Michael Jackson passed.
I say this, and maybe one day at some point where I don't really remember the day where it was Michael Jackson, but, like, for me, I don't remember feeling like this in a while, especially for a celebrity. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm one of those people that I kind of used to look at people weird for saying they felt sad when a celebrity died, somebody they never met. And then when Kobe, when this news dropped, I was swiping my phone like, ain't no way this really happened. And when it was true, I just sat there and didn't know what to say. That changed my whole day. Like, this shit was crazy, man.
I remember what I was doing. Like, I was, like, laying down, right? And I remember getting on Facebook. And I seen somebody, like, share it. But the account that it was shared from was a part of a Facebook group that I'm in. And this was, like, one of those things that I really didn't pay that much attention to because it's a lot of, like, and stuff that goes along in that group that I'm in. With people sharing things that have little to do with nothing like that's important. So, like, I immediately had, like, lost the Twitter. And I seen where somebody had, you know, retweeted a similar post from like TMZ. I ain't never been somebody that's followed TMZ. You know what kind of comes with it, you know, and all that. You know, it's like. But boy, like you said, more and more sources begin to share this and report this. I tell you, the one person that has tweeted about it that really like kind of made me like, albeit still in disbelief, kind of like believe it was when like Woj was coming out that it was true for the most part. And like the rest of the world, that threw me off for the rest of the day. Now, like with like my work schedule, I didn't even like I wasn't scheduled to work the day like that Monday following it. And albeit, you know, I've been somewhat cultivating new relationships here at my new job, but some people that ain't really whistled two words to me since I got here. I mean, I ain't tripping off of any of that. The point that I'm making is that upon me returning to work, I had people come up to me like, really like, are you okay kind of thing. Like I was telling you, bro, like this felt like a family member had passed.
That mess was crazy. Man, I remember that was the day for me where I was going to get my hair twisted. So I was chilling on the couch, whatever, just watching some Netflix, waiting for time moves on start. And I saw that. I was like, nah, ain't no way. And then more and more and more, I was like, nah, man, these people are crazy. Like, what they talking about? I'm like, let me get on Twitter, see what they talking about. And then I saw Kobe's name was, like, trending. I was like, nah, man, ain't no way. And then, like, I think 11:30, I saw Woj tweet that Kobe Bryant had passed away. And I was like, what? I about dropped my phone. I actually put my phone down because I didn't want to be on social media no more. I didn't want to see no more. And then, like, 20, 30 minutes later, I picked it back up, and the stories was just getting worse and worse. Rick Fox, it was his whole family. I was like, yo, what are they talking about right now? What? And then, like, finally, at about 12, it settled into just telling, you know, it was just him and his daughter, and that still was heartbreaking to me. And then to find out it was the same daughter that he'd been. Because I shit you not, like, 2 days before, that Friday, I had just watched the podcast on All the Smoke with him and Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. With him talking about the whole reason he watches basketball now is because his daughter is so into basketball and all her favorite players are his favorite players. Everybody she paying attention to is who he paying attention to. That's the only reason he's back in basketball now, because she's so into it and he loves her game. And then to see that happening, yo, that put me in a whole different place the whole day. Like, I had to put my phone down for a couple hours after that. I was just watching Netflix. I got my hair retwisted, but I was watching Netflix because I didn't want to see nothing on my phone no more. Yo.
Yeah.
That had me hurt, man.
I mean, whatever is like a tear below devastated, man, I'm with you, bro. Between Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, once I began to realize that it wasn't a hoax, I really wanted to just believe that there's somebody that had woke up just pissed off and mad as hell at the world. And
I could have lived with that. It'd have been rude to me, but I could have dealt with that, man. People hateful in the world. That's just, I could pass that off. There's hateful people in the world.
Yeah. You know, like you said, like every trending topic on Twitter that day and even days that ensued, I didn't want to see it. And then I couldn't come to grips with seeing any pictures of him, any highlights, any clips of him. I didn't want to do it. And to be honest with you, bro, like, I really haven't been that active on social media within like the past 2 weeks. it's affected me that greatly. You know, he's the reason, him and Shaq respectively, as to why, you know, I'm a Lakers fan still to this day.
Like, yo, that was me when I started understanding basketball. Those two were it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember they had that one, like, video where they asked other teams, it's like, how do you beat Shaq and Kobe? And people would be like, you know, hope they don't get off the bus or something. Like, because that was it. You don't do nothing with that. You just got to eat it.
And, you know, like we had discussed, you know, off air, we're not gonna get into any, I mean, it would never be a thing with the two of us, but we're not going to get into anything that, you know, any kind of Kobe slander outside of
that.
Yeah, none of that, period. No, I'm not, I care less about rehashing, you know, like the Lakers feud with Shaq and other things that, you know, are in the news.
That even hurt my heart even more, because Shaq, watching, I don't know if you watched, I watched, and I was hurting watching it. Shaq on the TNT talking on the floor, the Lakers floor, talking about how hurt he was, that he'll never be able to see him again, and say, if I was in shape, we could have got 10 or something.
Yeah.
Shaq lived for those kinds of conversations. And, man, in a social media thing, I follow Sharif and even. It's so painful watching Sharif, you know, talking about how he ain't forget how he talked about he had gotten a text from Kobe that morning just to check in on him. Because he said Kobe checked in on him so much after his surgery. Got a text from him that morning checking in on him, just seeing how Sharif was doing.
And for his last tweet to be at LeBron James the night after he surpassed him on, like, the all-time scoring list. For him to say, congratulations, King James, like, continue to, like, push the game forward, and then he hashtag LeBron's scoring total at that particular moment, that was his last tweet.
That's one thing that I think of LeBron. I don't know how much pressure that must be. That's the last, like, social media piece that she put out there. And that's so, like, that last message is self-made to be immortal. Because he was saying, you be the next one and just keep being great. And he was just happy for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, for so many years, people, you know, for that to be his last tweet, you know, LeBron's been Laker gang the past two seasons. Did you check out, catch wind of LeBron's and AD's tattoo in honor of Kobe?
Yes. Yeah,
I really loved AD's tattoo with Kobe's Silk logo, his Nike logo, and then the Black Mamba wrapped around it. That was so hard.
That was crazy to me. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, yo. And I, you know, there's some people out here talking about, like, this is not really too big basketball. It'd be nice if LeBron won the championship, whatever. But on everything, ain't nobody, especially after that, look, Brown's a Laker, man. Yo, we ain't, it's nothing but this shit is too crazy.
You know, we hear it all the time, bro, that life is so short, and it really is, but I tell you, man.
And you never know. You never know.
No, because, you know, that was a helicopter service that he had been utilizing really all of his professional career, you know?
That's me, but I do. I do about how Kobe took a helicopter
everybody that knows Kobe says nobody's been in a helicopter more than Kobe except for a pilot. Kobe stayed in helicopters.
I say it to avoid that.
And then hearing why he took, you heard the story of why he took the helicopters?
Well, I know as far as him being in L.A. was concerned was to, like, avoid traffic and for him to be able to spend more time, you know, with his family and things is what I pretty much had caught.
Yeah, because he wanted to get to his daughter and still be able to take his daughter to school and stuff. But he was like, no, I'll take a helicopter so I can be a part of all of this.
And like LeBron had said in, you know, that tribute ceremony pregame, that over the past 3 years since he kind of retired and been away from basketball, we just watched him, I don't want to say morph because that's who he's, you know, been, you know, for since as long as he's been a father and a husband. But to be able to kind of like see side of Kobe, I guess the human side of him, this regular like dad that's spending time with his kids and his family and everything. And I also had read somewhere that he never ever wanted him and his wife, I guess, to fly on the same helicopter or aircraft. I don't know how true that is, but I read that somewhere also.
I just...
Yeah, it does, man. It hurts. I know that it's been announced that on the 24th, they're going to have his memorial service at Staples Center. And I know that you've been to L.A. quite a few times here within the past year or so that I've kept up with. I tell you,
yeah.
Street Fighter, man, I am like... I don't know if I'll ever, like, board any kind of, like, aircraft, but I tell you, like, if I had a means to get out to L.A. for that, I swear I would go.
Yo, you and me both, man, I would be out there, because this is crazy. There was so, I couldn't even imagine, like, what L.A. was like for that day, because I know stuff was crazy for me. I feel like people and businesses had to shut down. I saw this one tweet. I wish I could remember the user. This one flower place or lady who sells bouquets, someone bought purple and gold flowers, and she told them it's free because it's for Kobe, and this is L.A. We ain't. She wasn't charging nobody for purple and gold. On that day, and that's some beautiful stuff. That was beautiful.
Yeah,
I, man.
Like I told you, man, I feel like the world had just stopped. And I mean, I hate to sound selfish. It's just really the fan in me, so I don't want it to be misconstrued as such. But part of me is kind of like disappointed that it seems as if. And, I mean, I know, like, you have to move on. That's just within life, period. But it kind of makes me feel a way. I feel like the sports world has just kind of, like, moved on from it. Like, I know it'll resurface a lot more as the date draws near for the public memorial service. But, like, again, it's just the fan in me that really is still in, like, disbelief and shock that he's no longer here. And I can't even come to grips with watching any highlights and just nothing to deal with him. Like, I know Nike pulled all of his, like, products from their retailers and subcontractors, and it's just hard to...
Nike said they didn't pull them.
It's difficult. It's really difficult. Like,
I know that day, I really, I don't know, like, I sat in my car that day for probably about an hour at one point, like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, and everything. And I was just like, this really just happened. Like, I was stuck. The one, it was a commercial that I probably won't be able to watch unless it's a moment where I'm feeling like confident I can hold myself together. It's the one, I don't know if you watched it again or remember when they filmed it, because this was when Kobe's last year, and it was Kobe, like, on the court by himself holding an orchestra among all the people singing, you know, saying why they hated him, and then Phil Jackson why they loved him. Mm-hmm. And it was the I hate you thing, but don't leave. And that hits me so different now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. Like, it feels unfair. I'll say this. I'm not the type. I've never been the type, and I won't speak down on you or other people if you're the type that are that says, you know, everything happens for a reason. I've never been the type to believe that. You couldn't convince me of the reason. And I don't want to hear that there will be a reason that will show later. It can't. You can't convince me there was a good reason for this. Because this mess hurt me so serious. I cried a lot that night. And I've never been ashamed of that. I cried a significant amount that night because I was hurt. I've never met Kobe. I probably didn't have a good chance of meeting Kobe, and we would have never had a conversation. But I really felt like part of my childhood, someone I grew up with, was ripped from me. And then to know that his daughter was with him hit me so hard. I was up till like 3 a.m. that morning. I woke up the next day thinking it was a dream, checking my phone and still seeing that it didn't happen. That mess hurt, man.
It still do.
And it's just crazy.
Still do.
I'm like, ain't no way, man. This ain't the way.
Yeah. And then, you know, I obviously, like, Kobe is, you know, the biggest, you know, celebrity and notable figure, but, you know, you definitely don't want to disregard the other passengers and pilot included that also, you know, lost their lives and things. And I'm with you. Like, I feel you so much when you say, like, everything's, a lot of people are of the belief that everything happens for a reason. And we all know that if there's nothing else that is guaranteed to anybody upon them being born into this world, it's definitely death for everybody. I tell you, it really is heart-wrenching to think, to even to try to, like, fathom what was the temperament of everyone as, you know, the helicopter just was.
I still to this day refuse to think about that, because that's too much for me. That's too much for me.
Yeah. Well, I think of that. I think about just everything. Families and
I don't have a child, people. But I can imagine that moment.
Mm-hmm. But I know that it's been dope to recognize, and even prior to, you know, the obvious tragedy, you've seen, like, players like PG and Kawhi and Kyrie going out to work out with him and Giannis, and so, and to just see how, like, he, I remember him saying,
All-Star game. Like 23 years old.
Yeah. I remember him, like, mentioning in his, like, last All-Star game that a lot of the current All-Stars for that year, what was that, 2016, a lot of them weren't even born when Kobe came into the league, you know? And for, I guess, for this generation of players and fans and things, they know that LeBron is that guy. But for Kobe to still be felt amongst, like, this generation of players in the NBA that more than likely they weren't even born, or they were, like, pretty much like grasshoppers when he was, you know, coming into the league and doing his thing and stuff, it's touching. you know, Dean's like, you got to salute him on the fact that he was becoming like an advocate for women's basketball. And you know that between like the television circuits that cover sports and everything, that in most regards, it indeed is unfair, but the women seemingly don't really get that kind of light and recognition that the men do, unless it's just something like really like, you know, monumental and all that kind of stuff. They don't get the consistent coverage and the kind of light that the men get. You got to salute. That's like that.
To my knowledge, I don't know if I'm missing anybody. Kobe was the biggest, if not one of the only NBA players to really be speaker for that WNBA like that.
Yeah, and it does. It goes to show that, you know, even some of the notable WNBA like players of the present and the past really vouch for that, and for whatever his vision was to grow and expand, you know, the game, well, the women's basketball brand, I believe that people that will carry on that, what he was trying to do. And we know that, speaking of, you know, like the Academy Awards, the Oscars were tonight. We know that 2 or 3 years ago he won an Oscar for, you know, Dear Basketball. It does, man. It hurts. I remember you saying what you saw with Shaq on TNT, man. What I saw with Tracy McGrady on ESPN, bro.
Oh,
talking about
God.
What, like, when to see grown men like that cry, even you yourself as a fan to say that I never got the chance to see him play in person, probably would have never got the chance to meet him in person or anything like that, like, when you are reduced to tears, like, that does, I feel you, bro. Like, a part of my childhood is just gone. Like, I got Kobe jerseys and memorabilia, like, hanging up in my closet upstairs, bro. Like, sneakers, all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm not
and
one of
like,
them.
There's, and I'm not even saying that Kobe couldn't die. I mean, I'd be grateful if that were it. But damn, man, like, Wilt Chamberlain got to grow so old. There's best. I have never. I probably know some people older than me that have never seen Bill Russell play. That man still make it out to every NBA Finals to give somebody the Finals MVP. To this very day.
It does. It hurts. All the tributes from the players, whether they were changing their numbers to either 8 or 24 for a game, or the practice jerseys and shirts and dedication to him, and what they write on their sneakers and stuff, players wearing his sneakers and stuff. And
even Luka Doncic. Plus, I don't know how many people understand that. I, to this day, don't currently remember where Luka is from or the language that Luka actually speaks. Luka Doncic was an enormous Kobe Bryant fan. This
shit worldwide and deep, man. It's difficult. Extremely difficult. Well, I mean, I guess on the brighter side, like, I mean, we both acknowledge that he and Shaq are the reason why we became Lakers fans. And I just want to, like, hear what some of your most fondest and memorable moments from Kobe were. I mean, it doesn't have to be like exclusive to basketball. I know that here in the recent, you know, we began to see more of him as a man and as a human with, you know, his endeavors beyond basketball. But just give me some of your fondest like memories, because I started to open up the show with, you know, audio highlights. And if you were a true Kobe fan, like, you wouldn't even have to see, you wouldn't have to see that, a lot of that stuff visually. You could just like hear it from the color commentators and just instantly in your mind go to like whatever highlight was being referenced and things through the audio. But when I say Kobe, just give me some of like your fondest moments over his career, like, period.
Man, one of my favorite moments is kind of innocuous, I guess, but when it was either his final game or one of his final games in his last season, when he was at the podium after the game, and before he even talked, he took like the Gatorade bottle, kind of moved that to the side, and he was like, let's just get this shit out the way. We ain't got to really lie no more.
And it was just so funny and so Kobe, because I was like, hey, dang, Kobe, I know you about to go, but you ain't done yet. Like, hey, you still some Gatorade money and some sponsors that might be feeling a certain type of way. Kobe didn't care, yo. He was like, nah, man, ain't nobody drinking Gatorade. This ain't doing nothing for me. Get this out the way. And I was like, dang. Kobe dunking on Dwight Howard. Look, hey, that was priceless to me. Kobe dunking on Dwight Howard, that was like, oh, snap. So this is how this final's going to be.
Welcome to the NBA.
Yo, like, this is what we doing. Golly, all right, Kobe. Do the thing, I guess. And it was just, and the no flinch. The no flinch is crazy to me.
Definitely remember, like, that infamous lob to Shaq when he crossed Scottie Pippen at the top of the key. Definitely remember that alley-oop against the Portland Trail Blazers back in the day. One of his most iconic and famous plays. I think about that game, that moment that he, you know, had asked, you know, Michael Jordan how he got leverage on his turnaround jump shot, and they both, you know, were, I guess, somewhat at the center or in the backcourt somewhere, that moment. I think about, obviously, the 81. I remember it was some date in January that is always, like, the anniversary of that against, you know, the Raptors when he scorched Jalen Rose and them single-handedly, like, not even gassing it. still to this day, like, the second, well, in modern, like, times, the highest single game points, like, accumulated by one dude. I mean, I know this ain't an episode we directing at any type of, like, hate or resentment, but, I mean, when I think of league MVP honors, for him to only have one, that never really, like, set too well with me, but...
I feel the same way.
I know that the Achilles injury against Golden State back in 2013 kind of like robbed him of even, you know, greater numbers and possible accolades, because people often forget, because I know people can be like prisoners at the moment. That season prior to him getting hurt, I want to say he was averaging like 27. And like
prior to him getting hurt, that season, like the last 4 or 5 games of that season, I think he scored like 40 points in one game, 20 or 30 something in another, because the Lakers almost didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think about how much of a trailblazer he was for like the modern game with him opting for a low cut basketball shoe. And it seems like players, like, beyond that have kind of, like, followed suit with their, you know, respective companies, like signature athletes and just basketball players, period, because, like, you never would have, like, imagined or thought that a low-cut basketball shoe could, you know, like, work for you. And he kind of, you know,
led to believe that, you know, high, low-cut meant more injuries to your ankle. And it was like, no.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And, you know, he kind of was, like, instrumental in, you know, changing the perception of that. Clearly, like, the next pantheon great beyond Michael Jordan's, you know, basketball career. Clearly, like, and when you think about the his contemporaries throughout his career, when you think about Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady, Shaq, KG, Tim Duncan, LeBron, D-Wade, later on, really, you know, I hope I ain't really missing nobody, you know, I can't, unless you want to, like, add some people, but
I can't, like, pull no names that, like, stood out for, like, a long period of time. Like, no disrespect to Penny Hardaway or
yeah.
Came from Duke, but I can't pull the name. It's not really fair to him, but the point is, it's just a little different.
Yeah, so head and shoulders, like, literally, like, that guy after Michael Jordan retired that kind of carried the torch and kept the league afloat and stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people would love to, like, ridicule him of being selfish and a ball hog and everything, but what people don't remember is, I think, I want to say, like, the 13, my numbers might be off, all defensive selections that he earned in his 20-year career. I mean, I don't want that to ever get swept under the rug when people want to just focus on him scoring and that being his best attribute. When you can get it done on both ends of the court, you definitely got to respect it. Because I know that's something that people, like, now will get ridiculed for. They don't play defense. They're, like, just great on the offensive end. I think about when he took Brandy to prom as, like, a teenager.
Yo, that's crazy.
I mean, I think about him winning the 97 dunk contest. One of, like, the last. I mean, I know he was young coming into it, but it's so much with Kobe, bro. So much with Kobe. I mean, I think about the string of, like, 40-point games, 50-point games. My
there was
God.
One interview he did. It was, I think, after he retired. It was an interview he did with Tracy McGrady and Rachel Nichols talking about, I think they were just talking about basketball, but then they brought up the one time they played, like, one-on-one. And, like,
yeah.
D-Mac was saying they didn't play one-on-one. He was like, no, we played. Like, nobody was keeping score.
Word. I remember the score vividly. He was like, I don't forget too many things. He even, like, gave Tracy, like, the score of the game, I guess, to convince
Yo,
Tracy.
He was like, I don't know where we was, but I don't forget the score. Like, I remember
yeah.
the score.
Yeah. And you'll laugh at this. Like I said, I know I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but – for some reason today, I seen somebody had shared that little pickup game between him and Bow Wow a couple of years ago.
Yo.
And Nick, I tell you, when I got a good freaking laugh out of that. That wasn't the first time I seen it, but it was the first time I seen it in years. I went back and watched that whole thing. That man demolished Bow Wow. Like, it won't even fair, bro. It won't even fair.
You told Bow Wow which side you wanted on. You want on the left or the right? Left or the right?
Yeah, like, so bad. Like, they asked Bow Wow, like, are you okay, buddy? He's like, man, he do everything in person physically that he does in 2K. And then challenged Kobe to a one-on-one game with all jumpers after he got torched in that first game of one-on-one that they did. But shout out to Bow Wow, because at the end of that, you know, that little wager that they had made, he pretty much dispersed amongst his campers and stuff, which I thought was pretty dope. I remember Kobe at the Rucker. I remember that.
Yo, I was just looking back at that. That was crazy.
It's so freaking
Kobe
weird.
Really went to the Rucker and just balling on people.
Yeah, remember Kobe at the Rucker. I remember Kobe in the Drew League, highlights when he was in the Drew League. Dang, man. I mean, obviously, All-Star games. I mean, sneaker commercials. I remember the Kobe System commercial. I think Larry Fitzgerald was in that commercial. Kanye was in that commercial.
Mahomes was crazy.
Yeah. I think one commercial, he hopped over like an Aston Martin or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, there was the one thing he did with the guys from Jackass, Steve O'Neill. He jumped over a pool of like, snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. I think about, I guess the game, this was still during his playing days. I guess he was just sidelined for whatever reason. There was some fan that was, like, berating him and enticing him that he kind of just had, like,
he
held
up. He lifted up his fingers, started counting them. Yo!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I do, man. I feel you. It's like you lost, like, a piece of your childhood with this news about him passing away. I mean, I think about the dunk on Steve. Oh, no, that wasn't Steve Nash. I think that was Gordon. Was that Steve Nash? It was a highlight. They were playing the Phoenix Suns, and Lamar Odom gave him an assist from the ground. I don't know if it was Steve Nash that he dunked on, if it was Goran Dragic that he had dunked on.
I'm feeling more Steve Dragic because Steve Nash got out the way of that poster.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the base. You know, Kobe was, like, dope for those baseline reverse jumpers. I think about the one he did against the Knicks, the one he did against KG. Albeit people ridicule him for stealing, you know, Mike's fadeaway. I mean, Kobe's fadeaway, albeit it was Mike's fadeaway, was still, like, a beautiful thing to watch.
All I said is show me somebody else who can do it.
I mean, you beginning to see it. I mean, I can definitely look at Kyrie now and see some of Kobe in him. You look at Kawhi, you see that in, you know, DeMar DeRozan.
You can say who do this are like top five players in the league. It ain't something everybody can do. You can't just say he copied this. All right, well, go ahead and show me a bunch of other people that can do that move. Show them to me. Because the only people you're going to show me is top players in the league. You ain't showing me those scrubs that can just copy Kobe and Michael Saylor. It ain't that easy.
It really ain't. Like, it really ain't. Like, the aesthetic of it, there hasn't been a player since Kobe that I've seen have the fadeaway, like, in that game that has reminded me of Kobe. But even the game is changing. Something else I wanted to tell you, like, while we live on air, like, anybody that has ever seen highlights, more people like us that kind of like remember Kobe when he wore number 8, you know, when he was, you know, superior, I ain't gonna say superiorly, if that's a freaking word, athletic than what he was when he wore number 24, but but Kobe at number 8 when he was really like above the rim, like Superman type of like athletic.
For number 8, y'all only know him for his fadeaways. If you know him from number 8, you know that Kobe was one of the best 360 dunkers, if not just general dunkers, in the game.
Froby, a lot of y'all remember Kobe with a baldy, bro. We remember Kobe when he had hair, bro. Remember
Kobe was 360 with people there. It did not matter. Like there was a competition for a while where people were wondering who's a better in-game dunker between Kobe Bryant and Vince Carter.
And you really miss that in today's game because, like, you don't have too many players in the league now that play above the rim. I was watching the Trae Young highlight earlier today, and it just seems like players are just predicated or on, like, shooting farther and farther away from
in
the basket.
In fairness to Trae Young, he was never going to play over. That was never going to be his style.
But my point is, Street Fighter, like, it just amazes me how the game has shifted so greatly. Like, you don't have the Vince Carters and the Kobes and the T-Max and those kinds of players that just play, but that still have, like, an all-around game, but that you know just play above the rim. Like, these players now are just like, okay, how further back can we shoot without a backcourt violation? Like, it's crazy to me.
Because there's one player right now, I'm trying to make sure.
there's one player right now who looks like he can do it all right now. And it's kind of crazy because I expected it and I didn't expect it. And like I said, I was drafted up. Ja Morant.
I knew that's where you were going too. I knew that's where you were going.
Ja Morant. Yeah, because he doing it. And it's kind of, I didn't know. I knew he could jump. I watched him in college. I did not know he could jump up, catch an alley oop with one hand and still dunk.
I'm telling you. If that freaking thing, if that would have went down against Kevin Love, oh my God. Oh my God.
I saw the replay. They said he jumped from a step or two inside the free throw line and said, I don't care what Kevin Love's doing right there. I know what I'm doing up here.
It is. It ain't too many players in the league now that play above the rim like Kobe did. man, when I think about. I even remember that time he almost had left the Lakers for the Clippers, and even he was like entertaining going to Chicago. I mean,
what I hear that.
I said I remember that time that he was really leaving the Lakers for. It was like the Bulls and the Clippers like that.
Yeah, that was wild.
I see it, the Olympic runs and stuff, the 2018, the 2012 team. Wow, bro. Yeah, it's going to sting for really, what a way to start to start 2020.
Man, this year been in the way. This year been a lot. Like, yo.
I personally
have started this year out good, but this is crazy for me to feel like this year has been testing me. I actually feel really bad because one of my friend's birthday was on that same day. I guess I won't shout him out up there. I don't know if he's a fan of it, but. And I didn't say happy birthday. And that's actually been weighing on me kind of heavy. I might either after this or tomorrow have to just shoot him a belated happy birthday message. But I saw that and I couldn't do it. Like, I was just numb that whole day, really. I didn't know what to. And I felt like I'd be wrong for even saying happy birthday after that news drop. I felt bad for him that his birthday was on that day. What do you do with that?
But that date will forever be etched in history. I know that August 24th has been Mamba Day since he retired. Obviously, things that are, highlighted throughout his career. I know that his legacy will never die. I know that, like the generation beyond ours and children that, we'll have and things, to them, like, he'll be like a myth somewhat. Those players that, you hear about in football and other sports, whatever sports you follow, that they passed before you could get a chance to kind of know who they were, but like how you open to them. Do your research and like, it just would never stand up. People like us are telling our kids and stuff, our favorite players and stuff, to let them know how to talk about Kobe. Like, it just, it hurts, bro.
Definitely does. And honestly, as a secondary, not even a secondary, I always say that. As another thing, I am truly, truly depressed and hurt knowing that you on the pass with
him. Yeah. I don't know why I was under the impression that she was his oldest daughter. And he just had a brand new baby, I want to say, over the summer or here recently sometime. Yes.
Just very recently. No, she was his middle child. He talked about her so much. Everybody that knew him talked about how he talked about her or talked about how great she was going to be. I feel so, so much like she and the world were cheated out of seeing what she had coming.
Yeah, because you see highlights of that little girl, and you definitely can see Kobe in her. You could see it.
Yo, and when they were talking, and people were talking about, like, having Kobe as a dad and a coach, they would imagine would be terrible. Unless you were just like him, and she was. She loved this stuff. She loved the learning. She had a turnaround fadeaway. She loved all of it. When they beat that team that beat them by one, and they beat them by like 70, she was there for it. She wanted all of that. He was trying to tell her about basketball stuff. She knew the answers before he fully gave them. She wanted all of that. She was here for it all.
Yeah.
Man.
I know that the UConn women, they honored the both of them. And you're right, for her to be 13, realistically speaking, 13, I know we're getting old. 13 is what, sixth grade, you could say, somewhat?
No, I think 13 is like eighth or ninth grade, because I think she was early.
Yeah, eighth or ninth grade, 13. Another reason that actually really hurt me, because my sister is about 13, so it was crazy to me to look into their girl's life ended that quickly. And, like, my sister's her age. Like, it may not be a helicopter crash, but I'm looking like, yo.
That's
this
young.
Is how old my sister is. This is it. This is all the life she got to see. There's so much she hasn't gotten to see or experience to be a part of.
Because you put that in, like, perspective for us, like, gentlemen in our mid-20s, like, we can think about 13 years ago and what we were doing 13 years ago, and it seems like forever ago, but in all actuality, it's like, it is, but it ain't in the same token. Like, 13 years ago, like, bro, like, I was still, like, living with my mama, I'm still in school, like... I ain't got no car or whatnot. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, there's so much in this world. Hell, I'm 20. I'm mid-20s. There's so much in this world I haven't experienced. At 13, I don't know nothing about nothing. Man.
Yeah. I mean, and it does. It hurts. And you definitely, man, you ever lost somebody, like, you really can empathize with his wife and the we're up and oh man, like the baby that they just had, bro.
Yes. And that this is a little known fact to most men, and I think a lot of people in general, but mostly men. I couldn't really imagine the waves and rains of emotion because she was just recently pregnant. If I'm not mistaken, postpartum is something that affects 100% of women, but at the very least, I imagine it affects 70% of women. To go through postpartum, losing your husband and your daughter, I could not imagine. If she, listen, I don't care. People always, they're trying to find the next thing she says or who she posts. If that woman never posted another thing on social media and never said hello to another person that walked in front of her, I don't care. She doesn't need to. This is insane.
She lost so much in such a swift moment, and the way she found out was TMZ. Nah, man, she ain't got to say nothing to me, to nobody else. I don't need to know how you're doing. That's for you. You or your mental health, however you can make it to tomorrow, is entirely for you. I just hope you keep making it, and I'm so, so sorry. Because this, I could not imagine that.
Yeah, and she has posted, I think, a few times on her IG. I reckon the first time that her publicly will be at the memorial service on the 24th. What I'm able to find comfort in as a fan, and it's not to belittle the loss of, you know, her husband, her daughter, and all of the others. For how great Kobe was beloved, I know that she, and along with everyone else in the rest in his family, I know that they'll be protected. I know that they'll all be taken care of. They won't have like a want in the world. I know that Kobe's assets will see to that they won't ever have a financial burden in the world, but I just find comfort in knowing that there's so many people that will see to it that his family is protected at all costs.
Most definitely. And that's just, LA will always be home to me.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be this season based on how they're playing. I mean, I'm just being honest when I say this, man. Like, it won't shock me if the Lakers win it this year. And if they do win it this year, I know that that'll be dedicated to him. I know that's going to be like a beautiful thing to see. I know they're going to win one with LeBron and AD. They're going to win one at least. I got a feeling it's going to be this year, but we just don't know. It's still kind of early. But even down to what they're going to do for him for like the All-Star break, this new All-Star format they're going to try out, I think that is dope. I mean, I don't know, like, the whole process that the NBA would even have to go through. I know people were, like, campaigning for them to change the logo from Jerry West to Kobe Bryant. Oh, man, and the backtrack. Even Jerry West's tributes to him on the airwaves. Oh, my God, those were heart-wrenching. Like, he pretty much raised Kobe.
Said he was like his father for a couple of years there.
I mean, really, like, throughout his whole, like, yeah, like, that's the guy that saw what the world became to know of Kobe in his professional career that nobody else knew, and he knew that he saw that from the jump. Like, could you imagine what the fans in Charlotte, like, have went through the past 20, like, throughout his career, knowing that that player could have rightfully been our years of his career, if not the of his career. Like, to trade for Vlade Divac and a few others to get an 18-year-old kid out of Philly that became to be arguably the greatest player to ever play basketball? Bro. It's so much. One episode.
One thing I just remembered this, that I take real pride, not pride, like I did something that I'm really happy about. Kobe Bryant got to see the Philadelphia Eagles win a Super Bowl.
I remember seeing a clip of that.
I'm really happy for him about that. And I ain't happy for nothing for these. I really, if you know how I feel about football, I ain't got no love for them. But that Kobe got to see that and be around for that, that's a beautiful thing. Because that man been Philly in his heart. He been Philly in his heart all his life. Lakers probably the only thing he like outside of Philly. And he been trying to ride Philly for years, faithfully. So when he got to see them win that, and how happy he was with his kids. That was the best.
Yeah. It is. It's difficult to. It's still difficult to think that he's no longer here. I know at some point his products and things will begin to resurface. I mean, I'm happy to say that I have some Kobe memorabilia, autographs, but but definitely looking forward to seeing how the NBA continues to keep his legacy and things alive as time goes on, and even players, newcoming players and things that will be taught about him, and I don't know, it's just, you know. But anyway, man, that's what it is. I'll talk to you. Let it take us out on this one.
This ain't that same conversation. This is an appreciation conversation. We happen to have been here to experience 2 decades of greatness. We appreciate you. Our condolences to the Bryant family and to the other families that were affected by this terrible incident. It's all love. And tell somebody that you love. Tell them. Don't be afraid. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't let little things, if it's a little thing, don't let little things keep you from letting somebody know how you feel again. You never know.
Street Fighter, I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, man.
We love you, Cole. And we just gonna end it on that note. I'm a
peace.
Mamba.